Lord is good. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We love you, Lord, today for your mercy and for your grace. I'm trying to turn this thing on here. All right, we got her going here, I think. I don't know if we do or not. There we go. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So happy to be in the house of the Lord. So happy to be here in Madera with my good friend, amen, and Elder Wheeler. God bless you. And we're praying for Sister Wheeler, amen. We're also praying Sister Garza and Brother Garza's family, amen, amen. God will touch them in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. It's just an honor. I see here that I got plenty of time. It's only 10 o'clock. Hallelujah. 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 And you know, you think about, you know, every day is a gift. Amen. Every day is a gift. Amen. You know, every day is a gift. Hallelujah. If you have one hand to raise up, you raise that hand up and say it's a gift. You got one hand to raise up. If you got two, raise them up. Hallelujah. Talk about thankfulness. A few weeks ago, I saw a brand new Yukon going down the road, and in the passenger seat in the front was a dog. The driver had his dog there in the front there, and there they were going down the road in a brand new Yukon. And on the back of the Yukon, it had the words, "The American dream is the American nightmare." And I read that and I thought, this fella doesn't get it. He doesn't get it. He's got a brand new Yukon. He's got his dog right there. He ought to be thankful. You know, Elder Morton said, there's no perfect situation. We're always working on things. That's right. But I'll tell you what, it is the truth. We need to be thankful. Amen. Hallelujah. We need to be thankful in Jesus' name. Let's lift our hands. Oh, isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? Isn't it wonderful? Praise God. God gave us the strength to be in the house of God. God gave us that blessing. Thank God that we can be in the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. I was glad. Amen. Not mad. Not sad, but I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, this morning, I have been thinking about this message, and you know, one of the things that's amazing to me, people say, why do you believe in Christianity, and why do you believe in God, and why do you believe, you know, there's so many, as far as the Bible is concerned, there's so many amazing, unique, and pieces of the puzzle that fit together. And when I muse over these pieces of the puzzle, it just fascinates me. And I think, how in the world can anybody, it takes more faith to believe that there isn't a God than to believe that there is a God. It takes more faith to believe that the word is not, that was just conjured up or concocted by a bunch of con artists. To me, it takes a lot more faith to believe that than to believe all these pieces that just amazing, they fit together. And this morning, I want to share with you one of these pieces of the puzzle that I think is just amazing. And if you have your Bible and you want to turn with us in the book of Romans, the fifth chapter, amen. And if you're a visitor here today, God bless you. I hope that we can impart something here today to help you understand what a blessing it is to be a part of this church family. Amen. This is a church family. And when the scripture says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, even the more so as you see the day approaching. Amen. And it also says, as the manner of some is. Some people do that. But the Bible says, forsake not. Amen. As Elder mentioned earlier. Amen. Thank God for the house of the Lord. And you know what? When we take that time to come to the house of God, that is part of our worship. Coming to the house of the Lord. Amen. And so Romans 5 and verse number 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulation. In other words, when you go through something, instead of complaining about it, you just say, well, the Lord is trusting me to go through this, and I'm going to go through it. I'm going to bear my burden with dignity. I'm going to bear my burden with dignity. Whatever I have to go through, I'm going to glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Patience, experience, hope. Everybody say hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Praise God. And I want to preach a little bit today about hope. Amen. And that's not the pure subject, but the only subject, but that is a key part. In Hebrews 7, verse number 14, for it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. I think the last time I was here, we were talking about a little bit about Melchizedek. Well, here we are again. Verse number 18. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before for the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope. Everybody say a better hope. Hallelujah. Bringing in of a better hope did, by which we draw nigh unto God. Hallelujah. Just for a moment, let's lift our hands and ask the Lord to help us today in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah, God. We glorify the name of Jesus.
Thank you, Lord God, today in Jesus' name. And thank you for standing. Please be seated. Amen. Just a little bit. We'll talk about hope here. The definitions. Hope is expectation. Amen. Hope is like you know you're going to, you have a birthday. And, you know, hope and faith go together. Hope and faith go hand in hand. If you have a birthday, you might be in a situation here where you think you know that someone's going to give you a birthday present. Amen. All right? And so you have the faith that there's going to be a birthday present. Amen. Now, you might have the hope of what that birthday present's going to be. Amen. You know, you think, well, I'd like to be able to have this is what you want, and that is your hope. And so there's a little difference there. Your hope may be your longing and your desire. I hope that I get this. Amen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, as we read in Hebrews, the 11th chapter. And so faith is confidence, and also revelation based upon what has been presented. We have faith in the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus. Amen. And hope's foundation is faith. Amen. It is the peaceful assurance that what hasn't happened will happen. That's right. And let's give another little illustration here. I have faith. Amen. I have the faith that after service, amen, we're going to go out and get something to eat. You know, I just think that, knowing that Elder Garza, amen, loves to eat himself, that he's not going to leave me in the lurch on that. Amen. And now that is faith. Hope is, Brother Flores recently was mentioning about a burrito with shrimp in it. And so I could have that hope that what we're going to eat would be a burrito with shrimp in it. I don't know. Hallelujah. It might just be, wow, it would be wonderful just to have some good Mexican food. Amen. Whatever it is and all of that. So that's kind of the difference between hope and faith. Praise God. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1:27, 1:21, it says, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Hallelujah. Amen. I want to have my faith. I want to have my hope in God. Praise God. I don't have my faith. I don't have a whole lot of faith in politicians. I really don't. I don't have a whole lot of faith in a lot of things, but I do have my faith in God. I have my faith in the resurrection. Hallelujah. My hope and my faith is in him. Praise God. Hallelujah. And when we read the scripture, we find out that David was a man after God's own heart. Amen. Acts 13 and verse number 22. And when he had removed him regarding Saul, they had removed Saul from being king because Saul's heart was not after the Lord. Saul's heart was filled with all kinds of things that were problems. There was bitterness, there was jealousy, there was hatred, and things like that. Things that Saul had a chance to get rid of, but he didn't. He didn't get rid of these things. He was given the opportunity to get rid of his jealousy. There were certain times that he shouldn't have had that jealousy. I mean, when they sang the song, Saul hath killed his thousands and David his tens of thousands. He got jealous. He got jealous. But he should have turned around and said, well, you know what? David's on the same side I'm on. I've got no reason to be jealous. He killed the tens of thousands. Thank God those were enemies of ours, and everything is all right. You know, things could have changed. Things could have been different had he had the right attitude. That's right. Amen. But the scripture says, so he removed him and raised up unto them David to be their king. Amen. To whom he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Hallelujah. David was going to fulfill all of God's will. Is someone with me today? Praise God. Now, when you look at the life of David, you're looking at a real roller coaster. And, let's see. Now, where was I at? I guess it was Disneyland. I went there with my daughter and all that. And they said, Dad, let's get on this one here. I'm in line there like I was the bumper cars and this, that, and the other. And what I didn't realize is I was in the line on one of these roller coasters that went like that. And I'm telling you what I thought, what am I doing here? Oh, my Lord. You know, let me tell you something. Sometimes you don't need to do anything, and life is a roller coaster. It's got ups and downs. It's got loop-de-loops and all these things going on and what's happening. I'll tell you what, amen, and that was the life of David. And then also we can see that there is, when you study the life of David, there is good, there is bad, there is ugly. But yet God said, he will fulfill all my will. Woo! Think about that for a moment. And so you read about the victories and the defeats. Amen. You see that he's taking care of his father's sheep. Amen. And here comes a bear, and he wrestles the bear. Here comes a lion, and he takes care of the lion. Amen. And then you read the story about how that the Lord chooses him. Amen. As just a ruddy lad, just a one, the elder brothers, amen, they came before Samuel, and Samuel said, no, that's just, I don't feel anything with that one. I don't feel anything here either. I don't feel anything with any of these brothers. Jesse, are you sure you have, are you sure this is all your sons? He said, yeah. This is all of them. Oh, well, there's old so-and-so in the field there, but he's not the one. Yeah, no, Jesse said, no. These boys here, they're ready for action. Come on. But that one that's out there watching the sheep, you don't need anything to do with it. And Samuel said, well, let's get him over here anyhow. Let's check him out. And so here he comes. He's running up there, and Samuel says, this is the one. And he anoints him. Brother, he anointed him king of Israel. He was anointed king of Israel. Now it took decades for him to become acknowledged by the people to be the king. And at the time of the anointing, everything was just kind of like secret. Nothing came out of that. Life went on. It just life went on as usual. Amen. And David went back to the field to watch the sheep. Amen. And it's just like as if nothing happened. But I'll tell you what, something big did happen. He was anointed king. He was anointed king of Israel. So here comes, and then finally his father, Jesse, says, hey, I want you to bring some bread and some cheese to your brothers. And so he brings these, he leaves the sheep in the hand of a keeper. He didn't just abandon them, but he was a responsible person, and he left them in the hand of the keeper. And he goes over there, amen, and he sees what's happening. And there is the army of Israel, and there's Goliath. And he says, is there not a cause? Oh, wow, there's a cause here. And I'm going to skip through this because you know the story, amen. finally, he approaches Saul. Saul says, "Here's my armor." He says, "Ah, I don't know anything about that armor. But I'll tell you what, while I've been out there watching those sheep, wow. Man, I've gotten good at that. Amen. I'll tell you, we went camping a couple of last summer, and those little grandkids of mine, they got a big old hatchet, and they go, and it would fall on the ground. Amen. And then they try it again and again and again, and before that camping trip was gone, they were getting 8 out of 10 to hit that tree. Amen. Not 10 out of 10, but they were pretty good. That's right. And that's exactly what David was doing. And he goes over there and he runs up. He doesn't just casually do it, but I'll tell you what, he runs up there and he says, "Amen. You come to me with a shield and a spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord." Amen. He goes just like that, and he took his head off. He knocked him out. He goes over there and takes his head off. Amen. And he becomes, amen, victorious. He became, hallelujah. Woo! Let's praise him together. Let's praise him together. Hallelujah. So he won many battles. Amen. Things were going his way. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then, amen, there were times when things didn't go well. Things went the opposite way. And I could take the time here to talk about, amen, the deep despair that David went through. I mean, he was on the cut. Everything was going good. But then all of a sudden, here comes the roller coaster. It's on the way down. And the scripture says, Psalm 16 in verse number 8, "I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, my glory rejoiceth, my flesh also shall rest in hope." This was the thing about David. At the time when he was at the bottom, amen, the bottom of the roller coaster, the bottom of things, amen, you want to know what he did? He said, "I will rest my hope in the Lord." Amen. The Lord is my hope. Hallelujah. He did not forsake the Lord, but instead he said, "I'm going to get stronger." Amen. "I'm going to get closer." Hallelujah. "I will not forsake the Lord." Amen. Even though things were bleak in his life. That's right. Amen. Saul, amen, turned his self against David, and all of his feelings and hatred and all of that. And it was too much. That's right. He had to flee. And Psalm 16 and 10, "For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to seek corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Amen. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." David put his hope in God. Hallelujah. Psalm 31 and 24, "Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that have that hope in the Lord." Praise God. And then he finally became king. He finally becomes king. I can't go through it. If we were to go through all of that, amen, we would run out of time. Praise God. But he becomes king. Amen. And there's victories. He brings the Ark of the Covenant. Amen. To go back to Jerusalem. But then what happens? Uzziah touches the ark and he dies. Amen. And then not everything went well. Amen. He's sacrificing. Amen. Every six steps he sacrificed. I'll tell you what, when you think about the sacrifices, I don't have the time to talk about what those sacrifices cost. Every one of those sacrifices, every six steps, amen, they stopped. They made a sacrifice, I think it's six more steps, and then they sacrificed again. Amen. They did that all the way into Jerusalem. Amen. He danced before the Lord. Hallelujah. Everything was victorious until he got, amen, to his wife. Until he got to her. And instead of, one time I said, well, I have a Lincoln story and a Far Side joke for every turn in the road. But when Abraham Lincoln made his great speech in Springfield, Illinois, amen, as he boarded the train to go to Washington, D.C., amen, and he gave that great speech, amen, just as he was going to Washington to become the President of the United States, amen, Mary Todd Lincoln was on the ground, amen, shaking her fists, amen, because she wasn't getting her way. He had to deal with her. And David had to deal with Michael. And she ridiculed him and said, oh, aren't you something? The way you danced in there. I'll tell you what. Whatever we do, we don't ever want to make fun how someone worships the Lord. Let them worship. Let them look like a chicken. If that's what they do, let them look like a chicken. It's all right. Hallelujah. Let them worship God. Amen. It's okay. Amen. Because they're doing it under the Lord. They're doing it under the Lord. And we have no business, amen, trying to decide how they ought to worship. Oh, no. No, don't criticize. Amen. So he brings the ark back into the Capitol. And then he wants to build a temple. And he gets Nathan the prophet. And he says, hey, it's in my heart. The Bible says it was in the heart of David to build the temple. Nathan goes, wow, that's great. Well, this is going to be a great thing. This is going to be a great thing. And then Nathan goes to his closet of prayer. And the Lord tells the man of God. The Lord tells the man of God, David is not going to build that temple. David's not going to do it. Nathan had to go to David and say, you're not going to build the temple. You've got too much blood on your hands. There's too many bloody things. There's too many things. You're not going to do it. Can you imagine how that smote David? It was in his heart to build that temple. But God said, no, you're not going to do it. Amen. God spoke to Nathan, said no. Amen. So David continues to be a man of war. And then the day came that people were out on the battlefield and David was not where he was supposed to be. He stayed home. And there, while he was in the king's house, he looked over there and he sees this woman. And he lusted. That wouldn't have happened had he been out on the battlefield where he should have been. But instead, he looks over and he sees this woman. He summonses her to come. And we know the story. We know this horrible, horrible story. Elder Wheeler, I don't know if there's a worse transgression in the Bible. That a man, the king, sent the husband of this woman, Bathsheba, to the battlefield in order to be slain on the battlefield. Send him to the front line and then abandon him there. Abandon him on the front line. Amen. Put him there where valiant men go. Brave men, don't keep him in the back, but keep him in the front where valiant men are. And then abandon him. Can you imagine that? And Uriah died. And David took Bathsheba, his wife. Here comes Nathan. Nathan says, he tells him about a rich man that had many sheep. But he went to a poor man and he took that poor man's one sheep and all the things that he did. And David was so mad. He said, take that man and deal with him and take his sheep and do this. And Nathan pointed his finger at him and he said, David, thou art the man. You did that. Amen. You did that. And you want to know? Amen. After that, David could have said, well, you're not going to tell me things like that. Amen. Servants, amen. Take him away. Get rid of Nathan. Let's get rid of him altogether. Oh, that's what he could have done. But he didn't. He didn't do that. What he did was David found an altar. David found an altar. David found an altar. David, oh God, David took the word of the prophet and he said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgression. David repented. Saul, the only time Saul repented was when he feared he was going to lose it. Oh, you're going to take it from me, so I'm sorry. But he didn't do it on his own. He didn't do it on his own, but David, amen. David was a broken man. David was a broken man. That's right. Hallelujah. He said, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. I acknowledge my transgression. And my sin is ever before me. I want to tell you today, if you're having a problem with something, or if you make a mistake, I'm going to tell you something. Amen. God is a God of mercy. Hallelujah. The thing you need to do, you need to bring yourself to the altar. You need to find an altar. You need to be honest with God. You need to be up front with God. You need to tell God exactly what you've done. He knows it anyway. You can hide it from others for only so long. You know, you can hide it from people. You can hide it from the preacher. He doesn't have eyesight that goes through everything. He's human, just like we are. But God will reveal certain things. God will reveal certain things. But God will give you space, amen, to get things clean before you and God. And to get things right between you and God. And that's exactly what David did. It's exactly what David did. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I'd like to read all of Psalm 51. But I have to move on here. Amen. He repents. Psalm 38 and 15. For in thee, O God, O Lord, do I hope. I hope. Thou wilt hear, O my God. For I said, hear me, lest otherwise they should rejoice over me when my foot slippeth. they magnify themselves against me. For I am ready to halt, and my sorrow is continually before me. For I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. Because of that, God forgave him. Because of that, amen, David went on to fulfill all of God's will. David went on to fulfill all of God's will. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And then with that comes other lows. With that comes all kinds of sorrow. Sorrow! I'll tell you what, if you go through, sometimes you go through the consequences of what you did. That's right. You could shoot a gun, and before that bullet hits its target, you could say, I'm sorry. But the trajectory of that bullet continues on. And that's exactly what happens in life sometimes. And when that happens, all you can do is just, amen, grab onto the horns of the altar and say, God, amen, don't forsake me. God, I have my hope in you. Hallelujah. And the domino effect happens, amen, in your life. Amen. All of a sudden, here comes Abnon. And Abnon rapes Tamar, his sister. Can you imagine all of the intrigue? Can you imagine the drama? Can you imagine the heartache and all of that? Amen. And then here comes, now, you know what? When I think about all that stuff, I think about the fact that the Old Testament, as Elder Garza said this morning, the Old Testament is like a dark age. It's like a dark age. There's murder. Light did not come until Jesus came. They were in the dark. There was all kinds of intrigues and sorrow. All of these things happened for our ensample. For our example, we could read about that and say, I'll tell you what, we're not going there. We're not going to do that. Thank God we have the word of the Lord today. They didn't have these stories back then. David was, amen, becoming the example. Amen. And so, amen, here comes Amnon. And Absalom sets up a scheme to have Amnon murdered. Absalom attempts to get control of the kingdom of his own father. He's taken the kingdom from his father. Not some other king somewhere. No. Absalom attempted. That's right. And then we read about Ahithophel. And I'll tell you what, I could spend an hour talking about Ahithophel. He was a wise counselor to David. He was a wise counselor. He was also the grandfather of Bathsheba. You want to know something? This man, he had anger roiling up in him. If he can get David assassinated, that's good. That's right. And so what he did was he turned against David. And he aligned himself with Absalom. That's right. Let me tell you something. Some things happen in our lives that can cause you to have jealousy. envy, anger, all of these things. You want to know what you have to do? Hatred. You want to know what you have to do? You have to go. You have to put these things on the altar and say, God, this is yours. I can't bear this anymore. I can't bear it anymore. That's right. You got to get rid of that. You cannot carry that hatred. You cannot carry that anger. You cannot carry that. Amen. Because what will happen is it will make you bitter. It will make you bitter. You'll become bitter. You can become bitter.
Oh, here we are, the family.
Somebody does something wrong. Somebody gets away with it. And what happens? Amen. You say, well, you ought to take care of this that way instead of the way you did it with me and all of that. Don't worry about it. Amen. Just find an altar. Amen. Give it to God. God is the judge. I'm not the judge. Amen. I'm not the jury. I'm not the executioner. Just give it to God. Say, I'm not going to carry that burden. Hallelujah. I'm going to let the pastor deal with that burden. That's right. Amen. And I'll tell you what, if he were to do the wrong thing, there's elders, amen, that can counsel him and all of that. Amen. All of that's good, but that's not up to individuals. If you're not part of the problem, you're not part of the solution, stay out of it. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. You say, but I'll tell you what, He ought to take care. I'll tell you what, if you judge one thing without seeing both sides, the Bible says you're a fool. The best thing to do, there's things I hear about all the time. And I just got to say, you know what? I'm not part of the problem. I'm not part of the solution. Let her be. Hallelujah. All is good. Praise God. I'm not going to let it take my victory. But I'll tell you what happened to this man that was the advisor, amen, to David. Amen. He let that take his victory. He let that take his good judgment. Amen. And when Absalom did not do what he said he ought to do, this man committed suicide. Amen. I mean, he came crashing down. Why? Because he didn't do it God's way. He did not do it God's way. There are some things we just have to put in the hands of God. That's right. Bitterness destroyed Ahithophel. Amen. Then Joab kills Absalom or has a part in that. David is at his lowest. Everything has come down on David. Psalm 42 and 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. I'm going to continue to praise God. Even when everything went wrong. Let me tell you something. Dealing with the loss of my precious wife. I have emptiness in my heart. I have memories I can't bear to think about her, about how she suffered. But I'm going to tell you something, elders. I don't blame God one bit. There's no anger towards God at all. Amen. Some people, amen, Job thanked God. Amen. Job thanked the Lord. Some people are like Job. They thank God when he gives. But most people are not like Job that also thanked God when he took. The Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And in all this, Job sinned not nor charged God foolishly. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, let's praise him. 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 Hallelujah. No matter what our ups and downs, no matter what our failures are, get back up and keep worshiping. Hallelujah. Amen. That's right. You only fail when you quit getting up. Amen. I love that bumper sticker. Amen. I saw it on a car. It said, I fell and I couldn't get down. Hallelujah. Woo! I fell and I couldn't get down. Whoa, yes. Drag your carcass to the altar. Amen. Somebody said if you'll keep your coming to the altar, you'll never backslide. Amen. Just come to the altar. Come to the altar and pray through. Amen. And give God the glory. Hallelujah. 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 Well, I'll tell you what. I haven't finished my notes, but I feel like I'm where I should stop. That's right. Let's just put it this way. I got 22 pages of notes, and I'm on page 11. Hallelujah. Yeah, let's see here. 10:47. I'll tell you what we're going to do. Amen. I want to finish this tonight. I want to finish this. I haven't even come to the beautiful piece of the puzzle here yet. I haven't even come to it. Brother, it's such a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful piece of the puzzle. I just don't know anything in the Bible that is just so amazing. But I'm not there. And brother, I can't do it in 10 minutes. And another thing is my faith is building. My hope is building on that shrimp stuffed burrito. I'm telling you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what, if you're a visitor here tonight, or this morning, please come tonight, please. Please. You're going to see such a beautiful, beautiful piece of this puzzle that you're going to say, wow. Wow. God, how God chose David after all of this. Oh my God. It just shows his mercy. It just shows his mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Shall we stand and lift our hands and praise him? Let's lift our hands and love him today in Jesus' name. Oh, yes. Musicians, if you know that song, I'd love to sing that song, Mercy Rewrote My Life. Mercy. Mercy. Mercy rewrote my life. Hallelujah. For years I traveled a road all wrong. My heart was lost, its joy and its song. Till grace placed me right where I belong, where mercy rewrote my life. My mistakes God turned into miracles, and all my tears he turned into joy. Then my past was forgiven. My new name was written when mercy rewrote my life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'll tell you what. The Lord wants to rewrite some people's lives. He wants to take you out of your crust of bitterness, hatred, anger, jealousy. He wants you to shed all of that. And he wants to give you hope. He wants to give you hope. This is the God of mercy. Hallelujah. Oh, mercy, reroll my life. Hallelujah. Mercy, reroll my life. Oh, I could have fallen, my soul cast down,
God's mercy,
but mercy rewrote my life. What I think is probably one of the most beautiful pieces of the puzzle, another one, is how God wrote the commandments with the finger of God on the stone. God wrote that with his finger in stone. And then this woman is brought to him from the act of adultery. And while they accuse him, there is a finger that is writing upon the sand. Hallelujah. And I'll tell you what that finger's writing today is: mercy. 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 Hallelujah. Is there anybody here that wants mercy? Anybody here that needs mercy? Why don't you come as we sing it? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, mercy rewrote my life. Oh, I was fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy rewrote my life. Oh, yes, let's everybody come. Hallelujah. Rewrote my life.